Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Second half, which is actually the final 41% of the season. Starting tonight, Padres at the Kansas City Royals, who stink. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Biggest 2 weeks of their season coming up here, Kevin. And I think that how they play, especially on this three-city road trip, will determine pretty much the course of the rest of their year. You had a great story in today's Union Tribune. I wanted to sort of go over that. You can make the argument that they should be buyers, sellers, or sort of neither, stand patters, I guess, as we enter the unofficial start of the second half of the season. How huge are these next 2 weeks?
Gigantic. I mean, here's what's unfortunate about it is like how these things normally go. You know, the Padres aren't going to go 9-3, right? Which would, I think, get them through like the Friday before the trade deadline. So like, or something like that. They're not going to do that. They're not going to go 3-9, right? It's going to be about where they are now. And the Padres are going to have to make a choice. Now, here's what I would say. If we are 2.5 weeks later and the Padres are where they're at now, you know, that being 4 games to leapfrog to get into playoff position, 500, that's the team you are, which I know a lot of people at this point would argue that's the team they are. And that's the whole point of it. Like, do you want to try to get better or not? This is who they are. I'm not going to argue that. But are you close enough to being a championship contender that you want to make moves to get there? And that's what this 2 weeks is about. So that's about as starkly as I can and dramatically as I can put it, is they have to show they are capable of winning like they were winning earlier in the season.
Right. And because this is such a deeply flawed team, some of it, quote unquote, by design, you know, some of it was we knew this is what we were getting. Other parts, hey man, injuries to your starting left fielder and 2/5 of your starting rotation, right? Whatever moves they would have to make, if they decide they are buyers, they're going to have to spend, whether it's in prospect capital or in actual dollars, to get guys. They're not looking for complementary pieces here if they are buyers. They would need, for starters, and maybe a starting left fielder, correct?
Yeah. I mean, starting pitching is the big one. They need the guys they have to hit. But yes, they do. They'd love to have a left-handed bat. But like, how much are you going to invest? I don't see them not getting some sort of starting pitcher, even if they're sellers, just to get through the end of the season. But in terms of going out and getting your like Freddy Peralta or somebody like that, you know, from a seller like the Mets. And that's another thing to think about is that right now there's 6 or 7 sellers, tops 8. And one of them is the team you're playing now. I mean, you're going to get Seth Lugo tonight, by the way. Maybe you could bring him back. Yes, they need a hitter for sure, but also they shouldn't need a hitter, but they need some help in that bullpen because you don't really know if Jason Adam and Jeremiah Estrada are coming back. You might have wanted to get another arm to bolster that bullpen anyway. And you need at least one starting pitcher, and you need Nick Pivetta or Joe Musgrove to be on their way back. You need to find out in the next 2 weeks if you think that you can count on them. And I'm hedging because I'm like, are you ever going to know if you can count on them until they get out there and do it? They have good players that have to be better too. I don't want to put like all these eggs in the trade deadline basket.
Right. It's interesting here because on one hand, and you make this point very clearly in your story, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, all these guys are only going to get older. This is the Padres' window for contention, right? You have fans who pack Petco Park. It's a lot of $18 IPAs and $200 jerseys because they want to see a team compete and because they respect the fact that the Padres try, right? On one hand. On the other hand, are the baseball gods telling them that they should be sellers? Because let's look at their injury list, right? Jason Adam, Jeremiah Estrada, Joe Musgrove, Nick Pivetta, starting left fielder Ramon Laureano. Let's look at guys who are having bad or at least down by their standard seasons. Fernando Tatis, maybe. Jackson Merrill, definitely. Xander Bogaerts, definitely. Manny Machado, maybe. Right? Like, to me, at this stage, it's harder and harder to come up with reasons why they should buy. Because, to me, it's a perfect storm of sell stuff.
Yes, in a vacuum. I mean, I'm not even necessarily arguing with you. I'm just going to argue like the other, the peripherals here is you can, all that that you just said can be true and they can still be in it. And then what the hell are you doing selling? Sorry, I don't get it. I also especially sense going forward, like you have players that are going to be here. You're not going to be able, you might get Xander Bogaerts to agree to be traded or not. You might get Fernando Tatis Jr. agree to be traded or not. I'm not saying that they're going to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. I'm just saying you've got some big contracts and some guys that are going to be here for a long time. So you're not rebuilding. You're not. You don't rebuild around Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. You can remodel to a certain extent. But like this whole thing of, because the emails that I get are like, tear it down. Really? Like how? Go ahead and tell me how it makes sense to tear this thing down. There is a point we have to deal in reality. They are where they are and they have some of the players that they have. It's, you can't tear it down a la 2015.
Right. No, that's a great point. That's a great point. And you make a great analogy there. You're right. You're not going to rip this thing down to the studs. You can't do that, right? To a certain extent, if you're a franchise that's trying, and if you're a franchise that wants to continue to draw, also, you have Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackson Merrill on the books. It's not as if you're going to be able to find takers for those guys, even if you're just saying, take their contract, right? Some of these guys. So what you're doing is, let's say you sold Mason Miller with the trade deadline. You're selling Mason Miller to address other needs, right? If you're getting rid of, say, Xander Bogaerts at the trade deadline, you're going to take the money that you would be paying Xander Bogaerts and probably spend it on somebody else or another couple of guys, right? It's not as if this is going to be a fire sale rebuild. This is going to be reallocating your money to areas of need like starting pitching.
Yes, absolutely. Well said. You've got to, there's just so much. And in the coming weeks, you know, let's say that we're doing an autopsy here soon, or it looks like we're going to be doing one. Then we start to address, okay, so what's it look like going forward with Michael King, with Nick Pivetta, who, by the way, is going to come back or make his attempt to come back before August 22nd, which would be 130 days on the IL, meaning the Padres can void his contract. Like, he's going to come back. So, like, what are you doing going forward with these guys? So there's a lot to consider. But as for right now, like, the Padres want to be buyers. And these next 10, 12, 14 days, and, you know, go all the way through 16 days, are going to tell them what they should be. And that's either by, you know, the play on the field is not great. Well, as in, and they're, let's say they're 8-4 or 9-3. Well, is that really good enough? I mean, maybe if they're 500 between now and then, the clock just ran out and it probably is best to sell.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that this is the thing where, you know, the decision to me is going to probably be clear, right? One way or the other. The way they play is going to dictate. And I think that that's a really interesting way that both A.J. Preller and Craig Stammen have framed it here. This is not a will A.J. Preller make moves or not. It's will this team play well enough to justify it? And to their credit, they're playing better. I mean, if they enter a three-game series here with the Kansas City Royals starting tonight, this is the team that is starting to hit a little bit better. It's starting pitching appears to have cratered and is slowly getting better. There are some things to like about this team with 40% of the season left.
Yeah. You know what they're doing is they've won games. I mean, it's funny. They're not hitting as well in the last few games as they were in the 20 before that. But you know what they're doing? They're scoring earlier. They're scoring more than the opponent. Like, it's like their timing has been awful when they're, when their pitching is okay, they haven't scored, right? Like, how many games recently where they lost 3-1 or yeah, something? And it's like, gosh, you couldn't have scored 4 on this night? And so funny, all 5 of these victories They've scored four or more runs. And when I say all five, they're 5-3 in their last eight games. Their offense has been better since June 8th, is really a cut line. The 36 games before that were almost historically bad. And they're starting pitching. You said it, I guess. Like, maybe it was, maybe they hit rock bottom. Maybe it just couldn't have been much worse. And they are who they are. They're going to piece this pitching together is what they're going to do. You're not looking, other than tonight, Michael King. You'll get into the starting pitching here soon. When Griffin Canning goes tomorrow and Marquez go on Sunday, especially with the rest the bullpen has had, especially needing wins, you're going to map out all sorts of scenarios. But your most likely one is going to be like, let's get these guys through the lineup two times, and then we'll work our bullpen.
Figure it out, right. But that is not a way to build a playoff caliber team either. I mean, at some point, what you're hoping, if you're them, is Musgrove or Pivetta or both can help you here in a month, right? And that maybe if you think you're still in it, you go get some guys. Maybe you get a little bit better performance from the Randy Vasquez of the world. Maybe Matt Waldron is the Matt Waldron we saw 2 years ago and not the Matt Waldron we've seen since. But man, Kevin, that is a lot of ifs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of ifs. I mean, the answer on that starting rotation is probably someone who's not here. It's Michael King, continuing to be who he's mostly been, a little better. It is getting that. Is it Walker Buehler gets some rest? You notice he's not pitching here, right? So he got the break and, going to get at least 3 days because the acknowledgement was that this guy is tired. Like, it's getting one of those guys to be something like they were, like Vasquez, Buehler. It's getting Canning to be something. If you look back and you see who besides Michael King and Walker Buehler recently, like, Canning got crushed, but Canning had some good outings too. So it's getting one of these guys to step up along with Michael King. And then your answer is guys that aren't on the roster now. Pivetta, Musgrove, and fill in the blank.
Whatever you can go get. Yeah. Let's get into starting pitching. Your Padres Orioles three games. Padres Royal three game series.
Close enough.
Tonight we've got Michael King, 6-7 with a 3.41 ERA. Has had three quality starts in his last four trips to the mound. That's a 2.7 ERA during that time. He's going up against old friend Seth Lugo, 3-6 with a 4.56 ERA. Has been pretty darn good. 3.72. ERA since he left the Padres 3 years ago. But he has really struggled lately, 8.58 ERA over his last four starts. The Royals going 1-3 during that stretch. And I hate to make too much out of one game, but you got to win the games Michael King starts, don't you?
You got to win the game Michael King starts, man. Yeah, you do. And you got to set a tone. And we've reached that point where all these qualifiers you and I give kind of don't matter anymore, right? Like, right. If Seth Lugo shuts them down tonight and the Padres lose 3-2 or something, and people are trying to explain to me afterward about how good Seth Lugo is and yada, yada, I can't argue with you on a one-game basis. We're past all that. You got to win. We're past all of the, hey, everyone's good in the major leagues. Any team can beat any team. We're past all that.
Right. Saturday, 1:10 start, I believe, our time. It is Griffin Canning, the aforementioned Griffin Canning, 1-7 with a 6.5 ERA going up against TBA. It's supposed to be Stephen Pollock, another old friend, but he's on the family medical emergency list, and his status is TBD, according to our Jeff Sanders. My guess is we'll know a little bit more about Pollock once everybody shows up to the ballpark today. Griffin Canning, again, maybe a lifelong American League guy before last year. Maybe there's some familiarity with Kansas City. Who knows? At this point, you're tossing the coin to see what sort of performance you're getting from him, I think.
Yeah. And you always were kind of. And we started out well and then not good. And he had a good, look, he held the Phillies to one run in six innings before giving up a two-run blast. That was back in the end of May. He had a recent start where he was good enough. I mean, he's had a couple actually since then that he's been good enough if the offense had come through. You're hoping that that's the guy you're getting, good enough. Yep. I mean, at this point, to expect more or be disappointed when you get less than excellent is just silly.
Yep. Sunday, Herman Marquez, 4-2 He's 4-2 with a 5.18 ERA. He's been better though. Since he came back from the IL, he has a 3.75 ERA in three appearances. Some of them start, some of them as a bulk guy. He's going up against Noah Cameron, who was really, really good last year and is sort of just average this year. 5-7 with a 4.89 ERA. Herman Marquez, Kevin, is the idea here just get him through the order twice and then hand it off to somebody else, do we think?
Yes. Unless, like, he can put it all together, because there are, the crazy thing about him is there's flashes where the fastball's blazing for him, you know, and the curveball is still really good. And he's also got the fight in him. He's still got that number one mentality, even though he's barely a number five anymore, right? And so, like, that's a guy that they hope could be that one. Maybe there's a quality start in there somewhere. But yes, Ryan, the hope is to get him through two times in the order.
Yep. It's and again, you know, the Padre bullpen, I'm sure, will be called on to do a lot this weekend. A little bit of a minor move, I suppose. Wandy Peralta, who has been excellent, by the way. I feel like this is a guy who, in his first 3 months with the Padres, developed a reputation for not being very good. He's been excellent for the second straight year. Wandy Peralta is on the bereavement list, and they brought Johnny Brito back up. Johnny Brito is one of those guys, though, long guy, right? I mean, he can give you three or four out of the bullpen if you ask him to.
You've got three of those guys now. Yeah. Kyle Hart, Matt Waldron, and Johnny Brito. So I wouldn't be surprised that if you end up using the bullpen a lot, or, I mean, like, that the how they get through, like, some piggybacks, an opener, what have you, on the rest of this trip while you're playing the nine in a row, there's a lot of different ways they can go with arrested with the rested pitching staff at this point and with the makeup of their pitching staff at this point.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, Kevin, we've got just a couple of minutes left here. Before I put you on the spot, I do want to ask, how was the All-Star game?
The All-Star game was a dud, unless you really, really like good pitching. And since, I mean, I got to tell you, I used to love a good 2-1 game, right? I'm tired of it. I like a little more offense back in this game. And especially an exhibition like that. So the Home Run Derby, by all accounts, as good as it's been in a long time. I love to see an underdog win. I love the passion of the Philadelphia fans. But I don't know what you thought, but or if you even, I don't know, I hesitate to say wasted your time watching it on TV. To me, if you invest that time to watch that, three runs in the first and then a home run, and that's the end of the game, I mean, I don't know. That's not what I watched the All-Star game for.
No. It's true. And, you know, like, hey, Mason Miller, that was fun. Interesting to see Dave Roberts let his own guys pitch two innings. That was interesting.
He's got to make sure he gets through the game, and if it goes to extras. I mean, that guy was perilously close to running out of pitching because Duran came in and allowed some hits. Like, also, if you're the Padres, thanks, Dave Roberts. Thank you for only having Mason Miller throw four pitches.
All-stars are funny, Kevin, and this is where I feel old. And when it comes to baseball, I really don't feel old all that often, but I feel old. You go, Justin Robleski, comma, All-Star? Nick Martinez? Love Nick Martinez, comma, All-Star? I mean, there are some guys. Sal Stewart, like, very pleasantly surprised to see that Sal Stewart was an All-Star. I'm not sure I would have thought that watching him day in and day out. Does that make sense?
The two pitchers were replacements. I mean, Right. That's the common theme here. So Right. You're not that you were caught off guard or what have you by that. It's like, yeah, that's you're right that this has become sort of a procession of guys that. And look, I love Nick Martinez, and I was shocked actually that Nick wasn't named to the team. I don't care enough about the All-Star game to like get upset at snubs, but I thought that Nick Martinez was a snub at the start. But you know, I'm sure some people thought Robleski was, and there's plenty of other snubs. But yeah, Dave Roberts had some interesting thoughts about that, I thought, and he doubles down. I love that about Dave Roberts, man. When he says something, he doesn't back off. Where he says that if you're picked, you should play.
Yep. He's the Hall of Fame manager now, Kevin. What he says, I think, does carry a little bit of weight. And again, I thought kind of cool to see Dylan Cease start. Is this an abuse by the manager who just happens to be the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays? Of course it was. but
always is.
But Dylan Cease, and again, you're not asking Dylan Cease to go sixth, right? You just need Dylan Cease to get a couple of outs in an All-Star game. I thought that was pretty cool.
And he struck out three guys. So, you know, he did his job. If it weren't for Cody Bellinger having driven in two runs, I always love the All-Star game MVP. What's a guy who gets like a hit? And he was up at the right time and he came through at the right time. And now he's the MVP. And I think he gets a silver bat in a car. That's great. But the All-Star MVP when it was such a dud of a game, but it could have been Dylan Cease. If somebody didn't have two RBIs, like Dylan Cease, that was fantastic. That, hey, what the Padres wouldn't give to have an extra $25 million, and Dylan Cease.
Absolutely. Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot like I always do at the end of these episodes. Let's get dorky for a minute. The most interesting thing I read in your very good story today about whether the Padres should buy, sell, or stand pat is this. The Padres, it is almost certain, will not have as much control over Mason Miller or Gavin Sheets as they thought they would have had. Let's walk our listeners and our readers through that very significant point, having to do with two of the Padres' best players.
All over the league, that's just the fact is that it appears to be fact. It has been virtually agreed to by the sides, and it's very ugly between the sides, but that the free agency has to change and that players need to become free agents sooner. And so it's basically a foregone conclusion that instead of needing 6 years of service time, you're only going to need five to become a free agent. That means that Gavin Sheets is not a free agent after 27. He's a free agent now, or he would be after, you know, after they're done arguing and they agree on a new CBA. That Mason Miller, the Padres don't have him through 29. They have him through 28. Significantly, if they trade him, that means the new team only has him through 28. You're talking about guys that weren't, there's going to be guys who under the current CBA wouldn't be rentals that are now going to be rentals. And then guys who you were going to have multiple years of control, you might only have 1 year of control, or instead of three, you're going to have two. Or even if you were to get, a first year guy or something, it's really going to be interesting because that's one of the things, you know, the whole payroll thing, they're going to have to figure that out. And I'm not smart enough to understand how, like, the grandfathering of that and how we sort of level down on the payroll by a certain amount of time, right? Like the Dodgers don't have, if we get a salary cap, the Dodgers don't have to cut $200 million out of their payroll by next year. But right away, these rules like this will be like, boom, guy's a free agent. And be like, yeah. So it's really going to affect, because I'm told it's going to really affect the trade deadline.
Right. And service time clock does not stop if there's a work stop, correct?
Yes. Oh, you don't get a year for not playing.
So
that's a bargaining chip by the players.
Right. But hypothetically, like, here.
Oh, okay. I got you.
If there's no 2027 season, the Padres would still have 2 years of control under Mason Miller, or of Mason Miller, even if both sides agreed, hey, you're a free agent now in 5 years instead of six.
Yes, Ryan. That's a good point. I mean, that's, that brings up the whole thing, right? Like, wow. Yeah. Yes. That brings up the whole thing of, like, if you lose that season, but yeah, I can hardly get my arms around all the possibilities. So are you rooting for it or not?
Yeah. As the guy who has to plan a sports action every day, San Diego needs the Padres and San Diego needs baseball to happen. That is for sure. Kevin, the Padres schedule came out yesterday. Would you take any games in April to the bank? Would you buy tickets for any games in April at this point? Or are we assuming that there will be some sort of delay to start the season?
Sure. I mean, you're going to get refunded. So they're going to give you I don't know if they're going to refund you, but they're going to, you're going to be able to buy tickets later. I'm against all hope. Now, does anyone really know? But a lot of people think there's going to be a lockout, not only a lockout, but that gains will be lost. I still have hope. And it's, if anything, it's because I just can't understand why they're doing this. I understand why. I understand the issues. I still cannot believe that they are going to push this to the point where they lose games.
Yeah, we saw what, I mean, the work stoppage in 94 did. We saw how long it took baseball to come back.
You don't have steroids to help it come back this time.
Exactly. And how many people, again, I've got young kids. They love baseball, thank goodness. What happens if there's no baseball for you? Right? I mean, I don't want to sound like an old man again, but you know, you can't lose a generation of baseball fans or of would-be baseball fans who'll just go watch the NFL.
One of the things that they're talking about is how they are making gains with younger people. Remember the whole baseball's dying thing, which, right. You know, there's a point where I sort of bought into it, and that, not that I didn't, I was thinking about younger people. I was watching my kids and all that, and, you know, just that there's other things. And so, wait, you're making these gains. Do you understand the psychology? I mean, like, you and I are coming back. Mm-hmm. Is the 14-year-old? Is the 18-year-old? The 22-year-old? Maybe. Gosh. If you're making all this momentum, which was one thing that both sides agree on, I just don't understand. I really don't. But Rob Manfred says that for long-term survival, maybe you do need to take a step back. Okay. And then the players, like, no salary cap. Okay. I understand that. I do understand all the things that it has done to limit players in other leagues. There have also been some gains. So I just, the idea that we're going to draw a line here and never go past it at all, or not move our line a little bit, I just refuse to believe that's the case. And so I still have hope that most of next season will be
played. Yeah, I hope that this is posturing, trying to essentially scare the other team. That is my hope. And again, how much brinksmanship are we going to see? That's a good question, right? Again, scary time if you love baseball, starting in 2027. Maybe that's why the Padres will decide to go for it this year. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Padres Royals, 3-game series starting tonight in Kansas City. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Macy, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.